want to share with you a very familiar passage from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, subtitled, The Beatitudes. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger for thirst in righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Nine bees in a sea. Nine bees in a sea. Before I go into that, though, I want to share with you a story that I heard a couple of weeks ago about a southern evangelist who was having a great revival in one of the southern cities. He spoke one evening about the days of tribulation. He talked about the storms, the fires, the floods, the thunder, the lightning, the hurricanes, the tornadoes. Little boy sitting in the audience nudged his mom and said, Mom, does that mean when that happens, school will be canceled for the day? Went to a continuing education class some time ago, and it was very interesting what the instructor mentioned about halfway through the day. And it matches kind of perfectly with the scripture that I've chosen this morning. He talked about this large umbrella under which is called the life we live. And under that umbrella, there's three levels. The first level is the legal, the law. And with the law, you have what's legal and what's illegal. In fact, if you look further in the fifth chapter of Matthew, the next couple of verses talk about the fulfillment of the law. But under the second level of the large umbrella called life, we have ethics. Ethics is either right or wrong. The third level that he talked about was the C word, culture. Under culture, you have what's either acceptable or unacceptable. Now, having said that, let's look at the nine B's called the Beatitudes. I've kind of broken them up into three segments. They're called the three rights. The three rights. The first right is to have a right heart before God. A right heart before God and also others. The blessings that are analyzed there in the Beatitudes could somehow sometimes be translated as being happy. But you know, happy always depends on your circumstances. And being happy does not sometimes last too long. I was happy with all the Super Bowls the Steelers won. I was happy when the Pirates won a couple of World Series. I was happy when the Penguins won the Stanley Cup. But being happy always depends on your circumstances. You know, many times I meet people and I say, well, how you doing? Well, Ed, under the circumstances, I guess I'm doing okay. My response is always, what are you doing under there anyway? What are you doing under those circumstances? Get out from under them. Go from circumstances to joy and from joy to blessings. Jesus spoke these words when he was talking to his disciples up on the mountainside. He was telling his listeners that despite unhappy circumstances, great blessings come to those who have a right heart toward God and others. If you were here last Sunday, you heard Pastor John talk about a gentleman by the name of Lenny. I, too, have a story. A couple of years ago, Angela and I were sent out to Hopewell Township to do a pre-bank foreclosure appraisal on a property. Now, one of the things that we're not really permitted to do is come in contact with any person at that property. This property was down a lane, private lane. There was only three houses on the lane. By the time we got to the end of the lane and turned around to come back to the house, this young lady, maybe in her mid-20s, walked out the front door, down the steps, and was heading toward our car as we stopped. Angela and I got out, and we thought, oh boy, this is not maybe going to be good. We walked over. I introduced us. And I started to tell her why we were there. She stopped me and she said, sir, let me tell you why you're here. And as soon as she started, I could see the tears swell up in her eyes. She said, I was born and raised in this house with my parents and my brother and sister. Last year, both of my parents passed away. My brother and sister and I were to take care of the house, make the payments, pay all the bills. My brother and sister left the state. I'm here all by myself. Then I lost my job. That's why you're here. Tears now flowing down her cheeks. I looked at Angela, and we both kind of nodded our heads, yes. And I knew what that meant. I asked that young lady, ma'am, would you mind if I gave you a big hug? And she said, absolutely, I wouldn't mind at all. Please do so. Tears now flowing down her cheeks. I said, young lady, let me tell you something. When God made you, he made you with two tear ducts. Don't you ever be afraid to use them. That's why he gave them to you. And God made you. He engineered you for greatness. He designed you for success. And I understand. And she said, yeah. I'm in a real mess right now. I'm in a real mess. took my pictures. We kept in contact with that young lady for probably the next 6 or 8 months. Every time we talked to her, the first thing she did was say, "Ed, you don't know how much that meant to me when you asked me if I would allow you to give me a hug. I want to thank you for that, because that hug helped me. That hug led me to hope for the future." She said, "You have helped me take my mess and make it my message." And that stuck in this brain right here. Her mess became her message. Hugs help. Hugs lead to hope. And I personally can't wait for the day when I look out there and I don't see any one of you wearing masks. I'll probably come out there and hug all of you. Hugs help. The second right under the 9 B's is a right relationship with Jesus Christ. I love this story, and some of you probably have heard it before, about the young couple engaged to be married. And fortunately or unfortunately, he was then assigned to go overseas. He was in the military. He had to spend 6 or 8 months overseas. And the two of them decided that while he was away, they would write letters to each other once a week, back and forth, back and forth. Finally, when he came back, they got together and reviewed the letters that they had written to each other. They finally decided, you know, we know a whole lot about each other, but we really don't know each other. That's the way it is with Jesus Christ. We can know about him. We can know about churches. We can know about this, that, and the other thing in referencing Jesus. But until you make that 17-inch conversion from your head to your heart, you really don't know him personally. You really don't know him personally. Technology today is wonderful. We have the PCs, the internet, the phones, the tablets, all these gadgets. It's great. But you know, I don't care what occupation or what vocation you're in, when you're dealing with people, and if you're in sales, like I am, you're dealing with people all the time. You got to be connected. You got to have that relationship with them. You got to communicate with them nose to nose, eyeball to eyeball, and face to face. One of my favorite verses is Matthew 6:33. "Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you." As God pours out his grace and his mercy. Grace is getting the good things that we do not deserve. Mercy is not getting the bad things that we probably do deserve. Especially with grace. That's why it's called amazing. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. A right heart before God. A right relationship with Jesus Christ. And the third right is the right perspective about our future with God. A right perspective about our future with God. This brings up the word culture. As I said before, culture is either acceptable or it's unacceptable. And brothers and sisters, I tell you everything right now. What we're going through
is totally unacceptable. Cancel culture. They just want to cancel it. Critical race theory, BLM, Antifa, defund the police. And now we've got governors in several states. The one in California, he's closing down the churches. That's totally unacceptable. That is totally unacceptable. Because it gets us away from the truth. It gets us away from the truth. How can we tell the truth is being told to us? When Facebook blocks it, Twitter bans it, Google hides it, YouTube deletes it, government censors it, and the media never mentions it. I was so tickled yesterday about what happened in Louisville, Kentucky. Anybody know what was in Louisville, Kentucky? Kay, what was it? The race. Horse race, the Kentucky Derby. Do you know what the cancel culture wanted Louisville at the Derby at Churchill Downs to do? They wanted them to not play or hear sung "My Old Kentucky Home." I watched that race just to see what was going to happen. Churchill Downs told cancel culture, "You take a hike. We're going to play it." And the University of Louisville band played before the race, "My Old Kentucky Home." And after they played it, I jumped up and said, "Amen. Good for them. Good for them." Could you put up that picture of the lady with the mask? I don't know whether this is Lydia. She's a 9-year-old grade school student from Braxton, Mississippi. She loves playing with her dogs. She loves playing with her brothers and sisters. She also has a strong faith in Jesus Christ. And she is an incredible witness to her faith. And that's why when the school she attends and the COVID-19 came along, they demanded that everybody wear a mask. She chose a mask that said, "Jesus loves me." She wanted to make that mask meaningful. She wanted to express her faith with that mask. Some of Lydia's classmates had the same idea. They were expressing their whatever it was with some of their masks. They had Antifa written on some of their masks. They had BLM on some of their masks. Lydia's teacher singled out Lydia. She said, "You can't wear that mask in here. It's too religious." And she was going to be subject to discipline if she wore it again. And that's why a place called the Alliance Defending Freedom is standing lock, stock, and barrel with Lydia. Defending her right of free speech and religious freedom. And religious freedom. We're not quite to the end yet, but I want you to stand right now with me, please. A group called the Nashville Sounds. The Nashville Gospels, I'm sorry. Some years ago, they wrote a little song entitled "Stand Up and Testify." These are just great words to that song. Have you ever had a bad day? Have you ever had a sad day? Nothing was going just right. And then you give it all to Jesus. Lay it down. Leave it. Soon you'll find an answer in sight. Have you ever had a burden, trouble, pain, and hurting? Loaded down too much to bear, you thought you couldn't make it. But then you let him take it. And soon you found your load had disappeared. And here's the chorus, and I love this. Stand up if you love Jesus. Stand up and identify. Stand up. Tell us all about it. Stand up and testify. Well, I thought I was a he-man. Thought I knew it all, man. Thought I knew just what to do. Thought I was a hero. But I wound up a zero. But Jesus said to me, you ain't through. You ain't through. So stand up if you love Jesus. Stand up and identify. Stand up and tell us all about it. Stand up and testify. 9 B's and a C. Have a right heart before God and others. Have a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And have a right perspective about our future with God. Let us pray. Lord, in reading the Beatitudes, it means so much. It means so much. Especially verse 11 and 12, when it comes to the culture. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. But rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Because great is your reward in heaven. Lord, we thank you for those words. May it sink into our hearts and minds and spirit. May we repeat those Beatitudes time after time after time after time. All these things we do thank you for, Lord. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.